Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. We're here this morning without Luke, with Jay, with Taylor. Luke is asleep right now, and Luke has all of our sound equipment. So we are using one microphone today. It's a computer microphone that I use for Skype podcasts and things of that nature. So we will be passing this mic around today, and it could be really weird and awesome, but if you will please berate Luke Stevens on Twitter at @SookLevens, please do, and let him know how much better our podcast could be if we had the right sound equipment.
And our fourth person.
Which is great, but today we're going to talk about the Thunder, who played a game with their full squad, and it wasn't so great. What, Jay, I'm going to pass the mic to you, and I want you to tell me your thoughts about the game against the Pelicans.
Thank you, Andrew. You know, it's hard because it was the game we all kind of expected to see at some point. You were just so, the hardest thing about it for me is we were so emotionally amped because of the return of Kevin Durant that we had expectations that were probably pretty unrealistic for the game where, hey, we played a pretty good Pelicans team.
Very unrealistic.
And so I think that there's part of it that we had this expectation that they would come out immediately and just run crazy on the league. But they didn't. And they didn't defend well at all. They scored at a pretty decent clip. And Durant had 27 points, 9 of 18 shooting. Had some uncharacteristic turnovers, wasn't his normal self in the rebound game, you know, didn't have a lot of assists. And Russ was really the one that struggled in that game. You could just feel the rust on all of them together coming off. But there is a bright side to it. Number one, they're better than any players we've had on the team so far. Number two, Durant said post-game that he felt no swelling, no pain in his foot, which is a great thing for a Jones fracture or any fractures that you don't have to deal with that. And then the third thing is that they played that game on Tuesday. And it's a weird time of the schedule. You kind of wish that this time of the schedule was at the beginning of the season whenever they had nobody, but it kind of works out where they played the Pelicans on Tuesday, came back home and practiced on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. No, sorry. Wednesday and Thursday. Got in the plane, flew to Philadelphia. They play Philadelphia today, have Saturday off, and then play the Pistons before getting back into kind of the insanity of the NBA schedule. And so as part of that, that's a lot of time to get your legs back under you as far as Kevin Durant, a lot of time to play together. And then Mitch McGarry as well will be a part of that, which is a big deal. And so, and then they also play the 76ers, who are 1-17 right now. And so having them as the team that you can shake some of the rust off, and then the Pistons on Sunday, that's a pretty big deal to be able to do.
Two observations about the game on Tuesday. One about myself. With Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook back, one thing I noticed is that when we were losing that game, real fear and anger was happening. It was like, it wasn't sadness and depression, and it wasn't sad anymore or disappointing. It was just anger. And so that's one thing that Kevin Durant brings back to the team, for us fans. And then also, about Robertson, he still only pump fakes and drives in the corner. It's terrible. And I just want to tell him through the screen, you can't pump fake and drive if you don't shoot the ball. No one's going to give you room to pump fake and drive if you don't shoot the ball at some other point in the game as well. And so, yeah, that's all just negative feelings about that game. Positive ones towards Anthony Davis. I love watching him play. But yes, that's all.
You know who did the randomly best job on Anthony Davis for the entire second half?
Perk. I like Perkins.
He's been way better this year than I feel like we were ready for him to be. And a lot of people were hard on Steven Adams as part of that game. I really, not a lot of people. I know that Brian Keating was a little bit critical of him during that game, but I don't know what you can do. Like, at this point, he's not going to get a lot of post-up opportunities that he's supposed to shoot with, because those are meant for the two best players, two of the best players in the country, in the world, you know. So, anyway, it's not all's lost. They're, what are they, 5-13? 5-13, they're still about five games out of the eighth seed. They'll get there. And Kendrick Perkins had a message for us. R-E-L-A-X, relax, which I guess will be the new sports thing forever, thanks to Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay.
Yeah, and also our man Jeremy Lamb has strung three games together, like three good games. So we can stop trying to trade him for second-round picks, right?
Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor, you can't have the mic right now, and I can just talk to you. I wish you had a microphone. Twitter questions. We're going to do some Twitter questions. Taylor... yeah, you guys... Okay, right now we're sitting in like a triangular motion. Now we're going to sit in a line next to one another, which really makes so much more sense. And it's a lot more cozy. Twitter questions. Taylor, why don't you lead the Twitter questions? And hold on. Okay. All right, here you go.
So I'm sensing a new trend with Twitter questions, and that's that most of them are just going to be goofy and silly and not very NBA related, which is great. Keep that up. So here we go. Here's the first one. This is from my buddy Alistair Hogg. Which NBA player would make the best American Gladiator, and what would their stage names be?
I thought about this for at least 10 minutes.
Wow.
My choice is Mitch McGarry. And because he's very nimble... And he is big and strong, and I think that he would do well as an American Gladiator. And I think his name should be Beef Punch. next is Taylor.
Oh, God.
a dog.
That scared the this is, out of me.
Hold on. This is Jay's dog going crazy because it can't escape the couch that we're all sitting on.
So I need this was hard for me to come up with something appropriate for the podcast, but I picked Festus Ezeli.
Okay.
And I just called him the Festival, but F-E-S-T-U-V-A-L, the Festival. He's a huge guy, that I can't talk anymore about this.
I can tell you why he would be a great American Gladiator, because he's not playing basketball right now, and he could very well participate in the show if it existed.
All right, so here's who I'm going with, because the reality is that I spent about the whopping 30 seconds thinking about this question, and that 30 seconds happened right now, because I've had to write four papers in the last week. And so, for me, this is what I'm going with, and it's a Warriors theme for me. But I think about people that are American Gladiators, and it can't be just some tall guy. There's got to be a little beef on him, right? Like, but you also have to have some...
Like Beef Punch?
Yeah, like Beef Punch, our man Beef Punch, which is actually the nickname that I'm going to try to push for Mitch McGarry from here on out. You talking about Beef Punch? Yeah, Beef Punch played great for Michigan that one year. Too bad he hurt his back and smoked too much pot. So this is what I'm going with, and this is terrible, and I admit it, but it's pretty good in my mind. And so one player that has the mold of an American Gladiator, because kind of big, a little agile, a little mean, is my man Maurice Spates,
oh.
Mo Spates. And so in order to keep true to the original Gladiator names, I'm going to name him Night Mo, like Nitro, but with Night Mo. Because I could not think of anything else to say.
Nightmo. What is Nightmo?
It's just a version of the name Nitro, but that's with Nightmo. Nightmo.
I would not understand that name was a play on the word Nitro at all.
It sounds like my 2-year-old son trying to say Nitro is what it sounds like. Okay, next question.
The next question is again from Alistair, and it's, as a skinny white guy, is it ever appropriate to wear an OKC game jersey without a sleeved undershirt? And if so, where and when? To answer the first question, I would say no. And so where and when, never, and are Nowhere and Never.
I disagree. I think that the jersey can be worn in the summer when it's hot outside. And if you are at like an outdoorsy event, you could wear it by itself. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to the beach and you didn't want to wear a tank top or something of the sort, you could wear an NBA jersey.
I feel like you're phrasing things as like a European trying to speak English. If you don't have a tank top, or you can, if you're going to the beach, and if you don't have a tank top,
well, I'm serious, but you, maybe I'm saying it weird, but it's true. That's what situations you can wear them. I wouldn't like wear it to the mall. I wouldn't wear it to like a restaurant. Oh, I would not wear it to play in either. You have to wear it. Don't wear it to play in either.
I think you can wear it to play in if it's like you're doing it on purpose to be ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can fully answer this question since I am the opposite of a skinny. Well, not the complete opposite because I am white, but I'm not a skinny white boy. And so, I don't know. I can't tell you the last time I wore a jersey. 1996 was probably it, and it was the USA number 13 Shaquille O'Neal jersey that I got for my birthday, and I would wear it. I'd just wear it, and sometimes it'd be even worse. I'd wear it with, like, my sleeves cut off, but not cut off to the point to where you couldn't see them, like cut off where they kind of ended in squares at my shoulders. And so it was one of those things where, you know, we never bought jerseys either because, you know, they were expensive. But my man Andrew had about 100 jerseys and still does. How many jerseys? What's your count right now?
Oh, man. I probably honestly have like 19 jerseys. One of them is an Earl Boykins jersey.
Like a Hornet or not?
A Nuggets Earl Boykins jersey. We can move on to the next question because I loved Earl Boykins. I loved watching him play. He was 5'5". He ran around the court, and he just looked like a small child running around the court.
He did.
I remember he would sneak up behind people, and they wouldn't even know he was there, and he would steal the ball from them. I remember I have like a flashbulb memory of him stealing the ball from Latrell Sprewell. That's all.
Yeah, the jersey thing, is it a trendy thing? Is it like a hipster thing to wear jerseys?
It's a very much a hipster thing right now. If you're going to wear it to like a music festival. Mm-hmm. Like we all three went to a music festival last year, not together, but we were all there, and there were lots of basketball jerseys. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
I don't remember what music festival that. Oh, yeah, yeah, I do. So do they wear them with flannel underneath them?
No.
I'm trying to think. That was literally the extent of my, all I could think of that hipsters wear. Do they wear them with cardigans around them? Is the cardigans out? Is that out?
Cardigans out.
Oh, dang. I was going to buy a cardigan. That's pretty much normal for me. Like, I follow the trend about 2 years too late. Like, I just now got my bowl cut haircut from... I'm just kidding. I did have a bowl haircut, but that was 20 years ago.
I wasn't aware that a bowl cut was a hip thing or a trendy thing ever. Oh, it's coming back. Yeah, a lot of date parties use them here in the States. Because he's from New Zealand. I don't know if he knows what a date party is. The United States of America.
The state of affairs.
Yes. All right, next question. Who is the worst matchup in the league for the Thunder? And that's from OG JD Dub.
So this is going to be two of them. Number one, probably the Pelicans, it seems like. And then number two, I'd say, I mean, the Grizzlies will always be that because of Tony Allen, because of the way they can just beat you up on the inside. But history's on our side with them. You know, they played them in 4 straight years, it feels like, and won 3 out of 4. Is that true? 3 out of 5 maybe they won. I can't remember if they met 1 year. And the only one they lost is when Russell was hurt. And so Golden State's a team that's a little terrifying to me just because right now they're playing defense at a clip that's better than everybody in the NBA. And they can also score like crazy, especially from the perimeter where the Thunder have been proven to be a little bit weak. And then the last one, and this is probably the one that's real, is the Spurs, man. The Spurs just are so well coached and the way they move the ball. But I think if you ask a Spur fan the same question, they would answer that we are the toughest matchup. Maybe for all of those teams, too, they would say that we're the toughest matchup. Maybe not the Warriors, maybe thinking the Spurs. But what do you think, Andrew?
With a healthy Thunder team, I really don't think that there's anyone that's a horrible matchup for them, because they have the ability to defend in the post against teams like Memphis, like Houston. So we have the personnel to do that. We also have athletes on the perimeter able to defend teams like the Clippers and the Warriors. So I don't think that there is a terrible matchup to where I would think like, oh, wow, the Thunder are absolutely have no chance in this series, or they're going to lose. But I do think that they could lose to any team in the West in the playoffs. I think that that's an absolute reality. Maybe with the exception of Portland, just because I don't know how great Portland is. And then also, I would put Houston and Portland probably in the same category, as in I don't think they have a chance of beating the Thunder in a series because of both of their the depth on both of those teams I don't like. So I honestly don't think that there is an awful matchup for them. I wouldn't want to see them play the Grizzlies again. I wouldn't want to see them play the Spurs like Jay mentioned, but obviously they have a chance against both those teams.
I'm going to say the Warriors, because I do agree those are the three teams that we've been talking about that Thunder have always struggled against, but we've always had athletic ability as something that we've held over the Spurs and Memphis, and the Warriors can kind of almost match us on athletic ability. They can run with us. They have just super athletic guys, and if you look last year, two of the games were decided by basically two buzzer beaters. I mean, every game we have against the Warrior comes down to the wire. They're super good, and they're just even better this year, so that makes me nervous. We haven't played them this year. No, we did play them this year, and it still was a close game, but that was without Russ and KD, but I'm going to say the Warriors.
I just wanted to say something real quick about the Warriors. As good as Steph Curry is, and you could probably say this, it's vice versa almost, they can't defend Russell Westbrook, nor can they defend Kevin Durant. You know, like I think if you were to compare like your top two players versus top two players and who has a better chance of defending them, I think Klay Thompson is the best defender on Durant. But Iggy, I haven't watched enough of him this year, but Iggy seems to have lost a little bit of a step but I just don't think they can defend the Thunder's players as well as the Thunder can defend their players, especially on the post. Like Draymond Green in the game that they played here, incredibly frustrated, couldn't get anything going. And because the Thunder, number one, threw the zone at him for a little bit. But number two, Serge Ibaka is actually a pretty good defender against a guy like Draymond Green. And if Draymond starts, talk about a guy that changed his game and started relying on threes a little bit too much. And he's been shooting pretty well. But sometimes it feels like he moves out there. But I do. I think the Warriors are a great team right now. I mean, Steph Curry is my MVP at this point in the season. I think that they're playing incredibly good, incredibly well on the basketball court. And, you know, the West is going to be a bear regardless of where you get in. That's what's funny is you could be the 3 seed and have to play a team that's got a 70% winning, you know, percentage. And so everybody's going to have hard matchups across the board. There's no Hawks in this Western Conference.
I want us all to imagine something real quick, and that's if the Thunder are all healthy and the Warriors are all healthy and we meet up in the playoff, that is going to be the most exciting round that could happen this year. Like just both of these teams just shooting, running. And it may be the quarterfinals. All right, next question. There was one here for Luke, but we're going to move on.
Yeah.
All right, next. Real questions. Which player is having a career year this year?
I think the obvious answer in my head is Maurice Spates. He's having a career year. He's shooting like 70% on jumpers right now.
Are you talking about Nightmo?
I'm talking about Nightmo Spates. Nightmo's actually playing out of his head. He's been ridiculous. So I think that he is the obvious answer in my head. There's a lot of Warriors players that are actually having really, really great seasons, including Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. So I just wonder if there will be some regression within that team once I mean, Maurice Spates, Nightmo, is not going to play like this all season. It's just not going to happen. So I just wonder if there's going to be some regression with this team. And then, you know, David Lee's going to come back, and he's obviously a really good player, but I just wonder if he's going to mess with that chemistry that they have, and they're not going to play Nightmo as much because Lee's going to demand some minutes, and he has a really huge contract. And so, Nightmo.
Mine is Maurice Spates was insane against the Thunder in that game.
He's been insane all season.
It's crazy. Surely that does not sustain. Or they'll trade David Lee and just run with Mo Spate Mitro Night Nightmo. I don't even know my own nickname. Mine is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah,
Jimmy Butler's having an incredible year for the Bulls, earning himself some cash, and really keeping this team afloat as they deal with the. Whatever Derrick Rose is part of the team, you know, like he's got a hamstring pull every other game or, yeah, I don't know. I just wonder, and this is, I'm going a little bit away from what I wanted to talk about, but with Derrick Rose, how much of it is a mental thing? I feel like it's completely turned that way for them, but Jimmy Butler has been a huge piece of that. And when they play together, they're really good. I just don't know how often that will happen.
Mine is going to be, a little more subtle. Like, you're not going to see it in the stats or anything, but it's Monte Ellis.
I was going to say him.
Monte Ellis, his percentages are not, like, better. Hey, I was going to say that too! Like, his percentages are not that much better, but he's been a great player in the fourth quarter. He's just so much smarter. He's so much more mature. His play is way better. He hit a game winner over the Bucks the other night, and the game before that, he took over.
He traveled.
But give it to him. And in the game before that against the Bulls, he just totally took over for the Mavs in both overtimes. Has just been really, really good. Just super smart. Not the Monte Ellis that you think of, where he's just chucking shots all the time and craziness. And so that's my guy. Anything else about that?
I didn't mention the Mavericks being a bad matchup. But as long as Rick Carlisle and Dirk Nowitzki are on the same team, they'll always be a difficult matchup. Would y'all agree with that?
No.
All right, moving on.
I would agree with that. Also, just to touch on the Maurice Spates-David Lee thing, I don't know. So far what we've seen from Kerr is he really doesn't care what you've done so far in the league. You know what I mean? Like he already wanted Draymond Green to take over David Lee's starting spot before David Lee got hurt. And so, like, I don't know if David Lee's just going to completely take minutes from Spates if Spates has been like this. He doesn't. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not expecting it, honestly.
And that's all for your Warriors podcast this morning.
I love talking about the Warriors. All right. Do you agree that the Pelicans have done a poor job of building a team around AD, Anthony Davis? This has been a thing. This has been a thing. I think Bill Simmons kind of talked on it on a BS report one time. He was kind of knocking New Orleans for... He was saying, like, how can you have a player like this and not have a good team? Like, is this the biggest superstar that has had a terrible team around him ever?
This is so overreactionary at this point. They have young players around him. So this isn't like a LeBron James in Cleveland situation where they tried to get all these vets around him and tried to win immediately. So I do disagree with some of the things that they've done. I think that the trade they made for Jrue Holiday, I like Jrue Holiday. I think he's one of the good players on the team and a guy that I really think they did a good job of getting, but I just think they gave up too much to get Jrue Holiday. I don't like the signing of Tyreek Evans. Although he just killed the Thunder the other night, I don't think that was great. But they got Omer Asik for not a whole lot. I think they did give up a first rounder, but I like what they're doing. I do wish that they would hang on to their first round picks because they're trading them all away to get players that can play now, which is like anti Sam Presti thing to do. And Sam Presti's built, you know, one of the best teams from, you know, the bottom up with a superstar, with Kevin Durant. So I don't hate what they're doing. I don't think that they're going in a terrible direction because they have young players around him. If they were bringing in guys that were 28, 29 to play with them, then I would say like, what are you doing? But they're, Drew Holiday's young. Tyreek Evans is still a young player. You know, Ryan Anderson is a good guy to have around him. Osick is a great player to have next to him. This team could gel and become a very good team in the West this year. So I think they are receiving a lot of criticism that's maybe undue. But the basically two first rounders for Drew Holiday might have been too much. But other than that and the overpaying of Tyreek Evans, and they already had Eric Gordon on the team, so I'm not going to criticize him for that. And I'm also not going to criticize him because Eric Gordon was once a really good player. So I think that they're not doing a terrible job of building around him.
I think I agree with most of that. I like Drew Holiday. I think it's a good pick. Now, two first rounders, if that's what it ends up being, it's a lot for a...
It is. It was New Orleans Noel. And the pick that they had...
For Elfrid Payton or something that they traded this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too much. You know, I don't know, but I'll never jump on Bill Simmons' bandwagon because he functions so much in extremes. But you're not trying to win this year, right? He's still, what, 22, 23?
21.
He's 21 years old. And so if you can be smart with a few pieces and, you know, I don't know what they need. They need depth. Mm-hmm. Because when they put a decent five on, like with Drew Holiday and Ryan Anderson, and even Tyreek has been pretty good when he's played the two, at least a little bit, and he's on my fantasy team. But Anthony Davis and Omar Asik, like, that's a good five to put on the court. And with Anthony Davis being that transcendent superstar, like, it changes any five you put on the court with him is going to be, you know, immediately better. But then you roll out John Salmons, and you got Austin Rivers, who just, and Luke Babbitt and his terrible hair. Jeff Withey, some guy that I didn't even know, I thought was Ryan Hollins. I don't even know his name. Some backup center that they have, but it's just they're not in good shape once you get past that starting five, really, and they've got to improve that. But that's something that takes a little bit of time, and you have to have assets to move to be able to get some of those pieces or work through the draft. And they gave away those two picks, so that's where I'd be a little bit more critical of them.
Yeah, I would say I think they've done a pretty good job building around him in general. They've tried to put shooters around. They just haven't developed as like a consistent shooter yet. Like Babbitt, he's a good shooter. You can tell he is, but he doesn't demand that much respect from defenders yet. Austin Rivers, Jimmer Fredette, like they're trying to get guys who can spread the floor. Ryan Anderson is the perfect guy for that. When you have Ryan Anderson and Anthony Davis on the floor, I don't know what you do. Because that dude can just shoot lights out. I would look at their perimeter defense as an issue, though. Drew Holiday is really the only perimeter guy that has respectable defense. Tyreek Evans just takes games off on defense sometimes. So you can't really trust him. But I would say if they've done one thing wrong, it's that they haven't really focused on perimeter defense.
I think the biggest problem I have with this Pelicans team is that you can't play their five best players together at once, and it work well together. I think their best five players would be Holiday, Evans, Ryan Anderson, Davis, and Osick. And I just don't think that you can play that lineup together. And I think that if you can't play your best five players together in crunch time, then your team is very flawed. So I think that I don't get it. Maybe they thought Eric Gordon was going to be fine and they could play him to stretch the floor, but he's obviously not going to be a player really moving forward. I maybe he can turn his career around, but I really doubt it. So they need to get five players that can play together, and one of them needs to be a perimeter defender. I totally agree with that.
Just something I was thinking of when you were talking about that lineup, that their best lineup that can't really play in crunch time. I agree that their offense is kind of weird with that group, but they also get every single rebound that is available when you have that group out there. I mean, you can't beat that team on rebounds. Like, I wonder, I'm going to look up second chance points with that group out there, because you have three just premier or rebounders out there, you know, with Ryan Anderson, Anthony Davis, Ashik. And your rim protection's really good. But yeah, I agree. Yeah. No, it's true. And Ryan Anderson can't run around with some. If they want to go small, then they will get shots on the perimeter. Next question. Do you agree? I'm sorry. That was the same question. More than a month in, which two teams are the favorites to win each conference?
Oh, man. If everything stopped today, I would have loved to pick Toronto to win the East. But without DeRozan, I don't think that you can say that. So I'm going with Chicago Bulls for the Eastern Conference. I think their coach is probably the best in the conference. I think that they obviously are a great defensive team, and now they have players like Mirotic and Gasol and McBuckets and all these guys who can score the ball now, and you're not relying on guys like Joakim Noah to put up points. So I like the Bulls to win the East, and then the West. If the teams are who they are today, I would pick the Memphis Grizzlies to go to the finals. I think that they are a matchup nightmare for everybody because of the style of basketball they play, and they also have perimeter shooting this year. Courtney Lee's shooting 51% from three. And you have guys like Vince Carter, who he's not shooting great right now, but you still have to respect him. So I would pick the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Chicago Bulls in a knockout, dragout fight to a title, and I'd probably pick the Grizzlies to win the whole thing.
So the question is basically, in the West, it's between the Grizz or the Warriors, right? So let's imagine a Western Conference Finals with the Grizz and Warriors. I was thinking about it, and I think the starting five for both teams kind of cancel each other out. Like, I think that could go either way. I think when you go deeper to the bench, that's where you really start to see the Warriors winning games, is with their bench. They're just a deeper team. Vince Carter has not been awesome for them this year so far. And so, Grizz and Warriors, that's who it is in the West.
I'd agree with that. I really like this Toronto team, and that bums me out that DeMar DeRozan got hurt. Bulls definitely, I think, are my pick in the East. What do you guys think about the Wizards so far?
Underwhelmed. I don't know. I think that they're a fine team. I don't think that they are a title contender. I don't think they can win the East. I don't think they have the potential to do that. Especially like Nene isn't playing now, and I think on a lot of nights Nene has been their best player. So I don't think that they have a shot at the East title. I really don't. I think it's going to be between the Bulls and the Cavs, and the Cavs are probably going to put it together a whole lot more. And so I would for sure say the Bulls or Cavs.
And I think you're right with the Western Conference. It's either the Grizzlies or the Warriors right now. But, man, I'll never count the Spurs out. I don't know if either one of y'all mentioned them, but they just are coasting through right now and still, you know, 13-5 or something like that, an incredible rate. But they're really good. And so those three, I mean, really, but that's the craziest thing. I just checked the other day, and the 7 seed Clippers were 12-5. You know, like everybody's playing at a stupid pace right now. And so, but it'll all slow down. It always does. I was trying to remember, it's hard to find data, at least in my quick observation for last year around the same point. But if we don't forget that the Portland Trailblazers were 14-3 for the first 17 games last year. And I think the Pacers were 18-1 through the first 19. So everything changes, things shift as part of the season. And so we'll see, man. There's a lot of basketball left, and there's, Anthony Slater did this, and so I looked at it again through this course of games, and you know, 18 games, 20 games in the season. If you compared it to the fullness of a season, as far as an NFL season, I think we're through like 3 games or 4 games, and so you know, like if that helps somebody understand that we're really early in the season, I think that's a big deal. So
now here's Taylor to talk about how bad my stocks team is.
Here it is, NBA stocks list updates. All right, I'll just do this quickly. Andrew, you're still in last. You're still in last because you still have Josh Smith and Drummond on your team.
I'm Poe as hail.
Poe as hail. And then no one else has really gotten that much better. So, yeah, you're in last place. Jay, you're second last.
Yes.
Nice. Westbrook has a PER of 35.2, so that's what's kind of keeping you in this. Besides that, oh, Lance Stephenson sucks. His PER went down from 11 to 10.7. Anyway, next is my team at 1167. Nothing really, it didn't really change that much from last week. And then Luke's team is in first place, which is infuriating because he still has Raymond Felton on his team, who has yet to play a game in the NBA. Lowry's having a hell of a year. So his PER is really good. And then of course the Raptors winning percentage is super good. And so that's what's happening right now. How are your stocks teams going? If you're doing them, I'm sorry that I'm not updating them. I understand that's annoying, but please do it. Email me, email DT. What is it? DTDpodcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions or whatever, because I want you to update your teams and I want to see who's doing really well and I want to see your teams and what you've made and all that. So, that's what's going on right now. Luke's winning. I'm second. Jay's third. Andrew's fourth. And then next we're going to do a top five power rankings.
And now top five power rankings.
Top five power rankings is going to be a very heavy Western Conference. Warriors. I don't really have them in order, to be honest with you. Warriors, Grizzlies, Spurs, probably the Bulls as part of that. And then your fifth, you know, Cleveland's playing really well right now. But I said, did I say Spurs? My brain is fried this morning. Spurs, Warriors, Grizzlies, Bulls, and who's my fifth team? I would go Dallas above Houston and Portland, just in the sense of what I think they are. Now, maybe the way they're playing, I'd probably say Houston. Houston had a really big win against the Grizzlies without Dwight Howard. And they've won some gritty games, which is pretty unique for them, and things I was not expecting out of that team. And so I'll put Houston in that top five for right now.
Yeah, I've got Golden State, Memphis, Dallas, Portland, Bulls. And Bulls are just there because I feel like I have to put an East team in there, even though the East is so terrible.
So you still, so you're going to put Bulls over there, even over Raptors right now, even though DeMar's out. They've still, I think they've gone 1-1 or 2-1 since he's been out.
They lost to the Lakers. That's why you cannot lose to the Lakers and be in the top five power rankings. So that's why.
So with that logic, one loss to the Lakers mean equals three normal losses to any other.
At least three losses.
Okay. Yeah, my top five is Golden State, Memphis, Dallas, Toronto, Portland. That was the first game after DeRozan went out. I'm sure it was really weird. They were trying to figure out what are they gonna do. I mean, this is a high usage guy that's out all of a sudden. And then Kobe Bryant is always good when he plays Toronto. And he was really good. He was really good. So I'm not going to count it as that much of a loss. But next we're going to do... Are we going to do the trade calls?
Yeah.
Okay, next we're doing trade calls. And I believe it's... I'm being Stan Van Gundy. And I've been practicing. It's terrible. It's a really bad Stan Van Gundy. And then Andrew's going to be different GMs in the league calling me, trying to trade for Josh Smith.
So I'm just going to have to, I'll present the trade. We'll pretend that we're already on the phone. And Taylor just walked over to practice with Sam and Gundy. So I'm just going to call you like your secretary is obviously out sick or out sleeping. So, okay. The first trade that I have. Hello, Stan. This is Rich Cho from the Charlotte Hornets.
Hello. No, that wasn't it. Hello. I can't find it.
I'd like to offer you a trade for Josh Smith. We... I've been really bad this year, so I'd like to offer you three players for Josh Smith and Gerald Henderson, Bismack Biyombo, and really good character guy, Jeff Taylor.
Gerald,
Channel SVG. Well, you got it, Dan. Well, you got it, Josh Smith. I'm having trouble with Josh Smith. I'm really having trouble with Josh Smith. He's a big. He's a four. Oh God, man. He's just really disappointing me so far. I didn't even listen to you. I'm so mad. Who'd you say?
Gerald Henderson, Bismack Biyombo, and Jeffrey Taylor.
Well, this is so hard. I'm terrible at this. I want Lance.
Not giving you Lance. You don't like that trade? I've got another. I'll trade you Gerald Henderson and Cody Zeller for Josh Smith.
No. I have too many bigs. I can't do anything with that.
Click. Ring, ring, ring. Hey, it's Billy King from the Brooklyn Nets.
It's Billy King from the Brooklyn Nets. I realize who I am.
Hey, Billy, what do you got for me?
I can see that both of our teams are in turmoil. So let's make a deal. I'm willing to trade you our franchise cornerstone, Darren Williams. And in return, I'll take back Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith.
I need something else. I need something else because that's really tempting. Darren Williams, man, having a great year, but I'm connecting with Brandon Jennings. I'm really connecting with that guy. We're on the same level. He's playing really well for me. That's not very fair. Throw something else in there.
I'll send you Mirza Teletovic and Darren Williams.
Done. Do it.
Trade call success.
Next one. Ring, 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 ring.
Hey, are you on the line, Stan? This is Pete D'Alessandro.
Hey, Petey.
So, Josh Smith seems like a guy who would disrupt everything that we do, so we'd love to have him. I'll give you Carl Landry and Derek Williams for Josh Smith.
Click. That's a terrible trade.
Okay. Ring, 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 ring. Hey, Stan?
I'm here.
It's Masai Ujiri. Hey, I'm Masai. I'd like to trade you two of my players named Amir Johnson, who was a former Piston, so the fans will love him, and Landry Fields, both expiring contracts for Josh Smith.
Still, I'm not going to do that. I have Monroe ready to come in and play his butt off for this team. I don't need another big in Amir. I have too many bigs. That's the problem. That's why I'm trading Josh Smith.
But he's a backup. He would be your backup 4 or 5. You need backups, don't you?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, hold on. Sorry, I'm new to this GM thing. I've just been a coach my whole life. Okay. I'll do it. Second round pick, I'll do it.
Great. You got it. Okay. What's the...
Next is... I'm sorry for my SVG. I practiced. I tried so hard. I watched so many videos.
You watch a lot of videos and still came up with like an overtly Jewish, angry person. I don't know what you were doing. I'm not saying you're anti-Semitic. That's not what I meant by that. But what I meant is that it's kind of just a variation of your Danny Ainge, just a little more cigarette smoked.
Yeah. I know you're not saying I'm anti-Semitic, but I'm saying I'm probably anti-Semitic. I could say that myself. So next we'll move on to Miffed and Peeved.
I don't have a lot to be miffed and peeved about right now, guys. Mainly because I've been going 100 miles an hour trying to finish this semester of school. But if we're going to say what I'm miffed and peeved about, without going too much into what is going on in our world. But if you've been paying attention to American news, I'm pretty miffed and peeved about everything that's going on around here. But I'll keep that to myself.
Thank you, Jay. I really appreciate you being considerate of everyone by doing that. I guess I'm just really was so miffed and so very peeved about the game against the Pelicans. Like, I felt just like you, Taylor. I felt so angry. I just felt like, what are you guys doing? You're very capable of winning this game and beating this Pelicans team, and you just didn't.
I was miffed and peeved about that, too, mainly because I believe that defense is about 98% in effort. And when they don't give effort, I'm not sure that I can really not be just miffed and peeved about it.
Yeah, it was terrible. So, and I'm also kind of miffed that we're playing the Sixers tonight because we're not playing a real team and still not, I don't know. I guess my real miffed and peeved is that we're playing the Sixers tonight because I hate the Sixers playing and I'm kind of miffed at what they're doing. So,
I'm kind of miffed and peeved at my backpack because my zipper broke. So now I have to walk around with my backpack open all the time on my back. And what miffs and peeves me, what really miffs me about it is everyone being really nice and letting me know that my backpack is open all the time. I mean, I can't walk down a hallway without three people saying, "Hey, man, your backpack's open." And I just have to say, "Zipper's broken. Thank you."
Hey, man, it's a tough life that you have so many considerate people in your world.
And I realize that I'm complaining about people being nice and letting me know something that they think I need to know. But I'm more miffed at my backpack than people. Very nice people. Thank you for letting me know my backpack's been open. Next is the Say What Stat of the Week.
Say what?
And I'm going to start this one. It's completely self-serving, my Say What Stat of the Week. And it's Amari Stoudemire is averaging 12 point something points and 7 point something rebounds, and he gonna finish that way.
I was gonna mention that this morning because I looked at his stats last night and I was like, oh no. Like, I think about it, I'm gonna have to end up buying people a lot of food and drinks at the end of this season. So, my Say What Stat of the Week is Chris Paul leads the league in pull up shot points per game at 9.2 points per game, actually. So I thought that was interesting because I really wouldn't have thought that he would lead the league in, you know, pull-up shot points per game. He doesn't seem like that guy, but he is that guy. I would have picked Steph Curry, who's number two. You know, I would have chosen Kobe Bryant, James Harden, Monta Ellis, Kyle Lowry. I thought all those guys would be ahead of a guy like Chris Paul, but Chris Paul leads the league in pull-up points.
You know who I thought would be leading that league already? Russell Westbrook. That dude shoots a lot of pull-up jumpers. My Say What Stat of the Week is from the Dallas Mavericks. Tyson Chandler, this is from NBA.com/stats. Tyson Chandler already has 3 games this season of 10-plus offensive rebounds. Dang. Matching the rest of the NBA combined, which only 3 other players are Vucevic, Tristan Thompson, which is random, and then Zach Randolph. Pretty impressive. 10 offensive rebounds in a game is dumb. Yeah. That's like the only way I ever see that happening is like people that miss a lot of shots at the rim and continuously get their own misses. Like Kevin Love used to pad some of his stats that way. That's my Say What Stat of the Week. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have for this week's Down the Dunk podcast. We appreciate you listening. Thanks for bearing with us as we deal with our technical difficulties. Remember, Souk Lefens, LePHENS on Twitter. Blast him for not bringing our stuff this morning and then sleeping in and not contacting us. We do appreciate you listening. Remember, check us out on Welcome to Loud City. It's part of the SB Nation. You can also find us at downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Look for us in iTunes if you rate us 5 stars and then review us. We will read your review on the air. We appreciate it from Andrew, Taylor, and Jay. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week.